Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Happy Saturday, and thank you so much for joining me today. I certainly appreciate it. Today, we're going to talk about the housing market, and this is, you know, with the market the way it is, it's extremely important that you hear what's going on, especially if you're in the market either to buy or sell a home. And to be able to really talk about it and explain it, I have an expert here today, Jeremy Page, who's with Carpenter Realtors out of Zionsville, Indiana. Jeremy's been in the business forever, and he is one of the most knowledgeable real estate agents that you'll ever meet. So Jeremy, could you kind of give just a real brief overview of you a little bit, and then how somebody can get a hold of you if they're looking to buy or sell a home?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rick. So I'm the manager in our Zionsville office there in Carmel. Been doing this, 14 years now. It's kind of funny. I can say I think I've seen every kind of market that's available, able to be had. You know, we saw the when listings would last for a year and a half to now when they last a minute and a half, it seems like. So best way to get a hold of me is my cell phone, which is 317-413-5311. You can also check me out at yourrealtorjeremy.com.
So yourrealtorjeremy.com.
Yes, sir.
It's a great way to get a hold of somebody. Hey, Jeremy, you know, I really want to start today with talking about the current market. And, you know, we hear so many stories about the market. Can you kind of give us a really good overview and of that market as we see it today?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a crazy market out there. It's something we've never seen here in Central Indiana. The values are going up substantially. You know, we had a really strong January. February was pretty weak compared to what we thought it was going to be. A lot of that might have been we had quite a bit of snow, really cold. That does play in. But then now halfway through March, a little bit past halfway through March, I mean, we're looking like we might have another record-breaking month, another record March this year.
And to me, that's incredible, because what's the state of the inventory of homes right now?
Inventory? What's that?
Exactly.
I haven't heard that word for a while.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'll tell you, I pulled it up this morning. In the whole metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors market area, which includes Indianapolis, all the donut counties, 2,077 active listings as of now. I'll tell you, I also pulled up the pendings. Okay. Well, there was 4,889 pending properties right now.
Holy cow.
So over twice the number of active listings are now pending. Average days on market for the ones that were pending of those almost 5,000, 32 days on market. Some of that is artificial as well, because now we're doing a lot of things where you time the market and you time to give several days for everybody to get into the house, take a look. So most listings could be sold in a day or so, but we're adding a few days in there just to give the buyers the opportunity to get in there and see how many offers we can collect.
Right. So if somebody was listing their house, I want to make sure we all understand what you're saying. So I list my house and you don't actually. So we fill all the paperwork out on a Thursday, let's say.
Okay.
Then you kind of hold it, or you, when you put it on there, you let people come through the house that weekend. And they have to have their offers in by X amount of time on Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah. We're doing that a lot so that we give an opportunity. There's also, on the buyer side, there's a lot of times we're not allowing overlapping showings in houses. So there's only so many time slots available to get in to look at a house. So a lot of times you can't do that in one day. So we're expanding that. Like you said, you know, if you sign paperwork Thursday, we get in on Friday, you know, showings on Saturday, Sunday, all offers due, you know, whenever, you know, Sunday afternoon, Monday afternoon, and then a response from the sellers after that.
And okay. So they take all those offers in. Is it kind of like your best, just send us your best offer, and then we're just going to take the one that we like the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this market, your agent should be, you know, telling a buyer, hey, go with your highest and best offer at the start. There's not a whole lot of second chances in today's market. So if you want a house, you like the house, it works for you, you need to go for it.
Does it matter, like, the condition of the house or anything like that? Or is it just pretty much they're all selling like that?
The market is so strong, everything is kind of okay. Selling. However, obviously, there is pricing factors that go into that. You know, condition does still play a factor in the values. I'll tell you, there's something else that I've been talking to quite a few builders recently, and something that I've never heard of before. A lot of them are capping either the number of starts they can do in a certain community every month or the number of sales they can do in a community every month. The builders are so swamped that they can't build fast enough to keep up with the inventory.
Yeah, they used to. I spent 11 years with a new home builder.
Right.
And back then, I can't remember what they called it. I wish I could remember what they called it. But there were builders who they started, you know, four homes a week or seven right. homes a week. And that just, and that's how they did it. And for a builder, that's like the primo best thing you can possibly have yeah. happen because, but it requires sales.
Yep.
You know, yep. And back when I was in it, there were very few builders who had the sales in order to make that work yeah. consistently. That's amazing. Now, on somebody listing their home or somebody looking to buy a home, what are you seeing as far as, so let's say I take my house and I say, okay, I want to list it, and we listed it $400,000.
Okay.
What do you think? I mean, what kind of offers are we seeing on the market today?
I'll tell you. Anymore, it feels like your list price is a starting from price. I just had this conversation with one of my buyers this morning, actually. But that's kind of the starting price. We are seeing 5, 10, 15, talked to an agent yesterday, had 32 offers they were competing with on a house. So when you're competing with that many, you know, there's a lot of things that are important. You know, obviously the terms, finding out what the seller wants. Sellers kind of running the shop right now. So find out what they want as far as possession time, stuff like that. Coming with really strong financing, having, you know, money to bring for the difference of the appraised value and the purchase price. There's a lot of different factors that factor into that. But I'll tell you, I've seen $400,000 houses selling for $450,000, $475,000. I mean, just numbers that kind of blow our mind here in good old River City, as they say, right. here in central Indiana.
So what's amazing to me, so the market is so hot. You put your house on the market, and you said that's a starting price. So it's just what it is. So somebody going out there, let's say, I know there's a ton of first-time home buyers, but mm-hmm. it doesn't really have to be a first-time home buyer. Anybody going out there, they're looking at a house. You can't go out there thinking, I'm just going to look around. I'm going to go tour 100 houses or 30 houses or 10 houses or even maybe 5 houses. Because by the time you get done, most of them are sold.
Right. Yeah, it is really hard. I've also historically worked with a lot of people moving into and out of central Indiana through relocation, through their job or whatever the case might be. It used to be, hey, we'd say, hey, tell us what weekend you're going to be here, you know, or what week, and we're going to block off our schedule. We're going to spend a couple days and drive around and look at houses. It's really hard to do that right now, because if something does come on the market, like we've been talking about, a lot of times they sell really quickly. You mentioned there's a lot of first-time home buyers. The statistics are showing there's a lot more millennials in our marketplace now that have not been in the past. The builders can't build fast enough to keep up with the demand. We discussed that. But we also have, with the COVID-19, it's created another opportunity for a lot of people who are in higher-cost living areas across the United States. I've worked with a lot of people who are from other places where it's a lot more expensive to live, But now they can work remotely 100%. And so now they can move here. They can enjoy Indianapolis award-winning schools. They can enjoy Indianapolis, you know, all the activities that it brings. They can enjoy the Indianapolis low cost of living. All this stuff that they don't have access to where they're at currently, they can come do it here and still have a great paying job and work from their living room or the office.
It seems like maybe that is even the best of all worlds for somebody like that, because here, let's say it's somebody from Chicago. Yeah. So you're paid like you're living in Chicago, and that you have the Chicago expenses, but you live in Indianapolis with much, much lower expenses. So they have a lot more disposable income if they do that.
Yes, and I've talked to a lot of different buyers like that that are coming into town because of that reason exactly. Okay. And our taxes are historically real low compared to a lot of other states.
Oh, yeah.
Property taxes.
My son lives in Chicago, and he's buying a house. And the taxes on these houses there, they are at least twice what we are.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times, five times or more.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say because it depends on the price and where it is and all that stuff. But it is amazing to me how expensive it is in some other areas and how inexpensive Indianapolis is. After the break, we're going to talk more about the market and if you're looking to buy or sell, what's your best strategy?
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and I'm here with Jeremy Page. He's a manager of the Carpenter Realtor Office in downtown Zionsville. And we're talking about the current market. Jeremy, could you give them your contact information so if somebody's looking to buy or sell, they know how to contact you?
Yes, sir. Jeremy Page, Carpenter Realtors in Zionsville, as Rick mentioned. Cell phone is 317-413-5311. You can also go to my website at yourrealtorjeremy.com.
Excellent.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
I got an email from Garrett Kay, and he was asking, I thought this was a great question, and I thought this was a perfect question to talk to Jeremy about. He's renting currently, and he wants to know if he can make the timing of buying a house in the end of his lease work in this environment.
Yeah. And there are ways to do that. We're doing that quite a bit, whether it's coming off a lease or timing, selling your house and buying another one. The real world is it is harder to do that in today's environment, but it is not impossible. We've done it. We do it all day, every day, but it is harder because of the lack of inventory and the seller kind of gets what they want most of the time. Actually, a lot of times they get more than they want. They didn't know what they wanted until they see the offer start piling in.
So if somebody has a lease, let's say their lease is ending at the end of May. Is it somewhat on when they need to go, because it's so hard to find a house, when they're going to go find a house? But even right now, it's going to take 30 days to close.
Yeah.
So if they did it now, they would have one payment on their lease, but they wouldn't have a mortgage payment.
Yeah. I'm recommending people in that situation to start looking a little bit earlier than I historically have told them to. You know, when there's plenty of inventory, you just go out there, and whenever you decide it's time to buy a house, you go out there and find the right one, and you buy it, and you go on. Now, it may take longer to find and secure that house. So buffering in some extra time frame by starting to look a month or two sooner than you typically would is beneficial.
Okay, so that's great. Great advice for somebody. They need to start looking a little earlier.
Yes.
Perfect. You know, let's get back to the current market, which we're still kind of talking about it, but you talked about relos and it made me think, okay, are we getting a lot of relocation people moving into the area right now?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot more that are moving here without going through their employer. Just the fact that they're allowed to work wherever. And so they want to come and live closer to family, or they want to come and be somewhere that's a lot more affordable, like we were discussing, or be somewhere you know, I had one person that said they did some research and found out Indiana was one of the most free states. And so they didn't elaborate too awful much on that, but it was towards the beginning of the coronavirus stuff, and they just liked the freedoms that we have here that they didn't have where they were from.
Right. Well, and that makes sense. I wonder, though, since that's happened, that's actually putting some additional pressure on our market, because they obviously don't have a house to sell here.
Right.
So, and they want a house, so they're willing to bid higher than what you would.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and if you just got done selling a house in California to move to Indiana, you have a lot more liquid cash probably to bring to a more affordable market.
So. And do you see that? Are there a lot of people coming from like New York and California, Chicago?
I've talked to a lot of people from California, some from Colorado, Chicago, people from Illinois that are wanting to come over here because, you know, it's somewhat similar, you know, climates and everything else. So absolutely. But they're coming from everywhere.
Oh, really? That's great. I mean, that's good for our economy and everything in the long term. So we're booming right now. Somebody wants to buy a house. They need to get out there. Let's say they have a house to sell.
Okay.
And they want to buy a house. How do you work that timing out?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few different options. You know, it depends. I've always preferred doing it, you know, personally, where I buy the next house first and then sell my current house later. So it's a one-time move, easy transition, less stress. There's risks to that, but the reward to me is beneficial if you are able to qualify financially to do that. If not, then there's all different scenarios that we can play out depending on a person's specific needs.
Okay. We know it's tough to sell a house or buy a house if you're contingent. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they need to qualify
without
selling their current home. Yes. And then you and I were talking off air, and you said it's also tough to the more you put down, the more likely you're going to get your offer accepted.
Yeah. If you're getting 10 offers or 30 offers and you come in, you know, unfortunately, a VA offer is not viewed by a lot of sellers favorably because it's a zero down loan. I hate that because I love our veterans. I thank them for their service, and I think they deserve better than that. But the real world is a seller's looking at it. The less you put down, the more risk that they're absorbing. If you have someone that's going to pay cash versus someone that's doing a zero down loan, there's a lot more risk that someone with a zero down loan, historically speaking, would not be able to go through to the closing versus the person that's paying 100% cash.
Right. Especially in a market where you're paying more than the list price.
Absolutely.
And there's a likelihood or that it could happen that the appraisal comes in lower than your purchase price.
Yeah, correct. In fact, we're doing a lot of talking with sellers now. It's not about getting a buyer or getting a offer. It's choosing the right buyer and the right offer. That is where a lot of the value of a good, qualified, you know, experienced real estate agent comes in. Because, yeah, anybody can get you an offer, but you want to get the best one. And sometimes the best one isn't always the top dollar. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But you want to find someone that's actually going to go through with the closing, especially if you're timing the purchase of another house or building another house and trying to factor in the timing of, you know, selling your current house. If you get it on and then you have a fall through, then that could throw all that timing out the door and create a lot of stress.
Right. Yep. And you know, the other thing I think people need to understand is, so if you're looking at buying a house and you go in and you offer $10,000 more than the list price. Now, the appraisal could come in at that,
right,
and you could be fine. It wouldn't matter. But if, let's say, the appraisal comes in at the list price, and you've now paid $10,000 more than the appraised value. What happens is you now have to put that $10,000 additional down.
With cash.
Right. With cash, right. And what Jeremy's saying is that if you're at 5% down, and now all of a sudden you got to put 5% plus an additional $10,000, that's a high risk for the seller.
Correct.
If you're at 20% down and you have to put an extra $10,000 down, you can just go to a 10% down or something like that and and you have that extra $10,000 and you close on the loan, you now have mortgage insurance, but you were able to close on the house. And that's what the seller's worried about. That's the risk. And that's kind of the risk they see in a VA, plus a VA inspection and things are a little bit more detailed.
It's just one more step to go through.
Yes. And so
any extra step creates an additional layer of risk to the seller.
Right. And that's what you have to avoid. Now, so let's look at somebody now who is selling their house.
Okay.
So obviously in this market, there's some real positives.
Yeah.
How does that, like when you talk to a seller, what kind of things do you go through? And then how do you kind of help them pick the best offer out of the offers that are received?
Yeah. So it can get pretty crazy. I just listed one not long ago and I don't even remember. We probably had 10 offers or something, and then we cut it off. But out of those offers, you'll see one or two that kind of right off the bat, you're like, these aren't going to meet it, meet the criteria we need. And then you start comparing financing types, what kind of lenders are using. You compare timing, that's a big thing. If the seller is trying to time their new construction and they have to be out at a certain date, and then, you get a slam dunk offer, but they want to move in, 30 days before or 30 days after, that may not be the best offer. It comes down to what the seller wants and the seller needs. So what I do is I've got a big spreadsheet and I put in all the information. There's a lot of other things that you have to factor in as far as, inspection time frame. Also seller's view. If you're putting zero down or you're putting 100% down, then more than likely you're going to have the cash to absorb, little repairs that might be found in the inspection versus someone who's putting zero down and doesn't have the extra cash. So that's another reason that the sellers, view those buyers as a little bit higher risk.
And let's talk about that inspection, because obviously that's an issue. And so it sounds like you even look at inspections a little different than you used to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, right now, If your buyers go through buyer's remorse oftentimes, especially in a market like this where, you don't have 3 days to decide. You don't have 2 months to sleep on it. You're going to make a decision and you're going to pay more for a house than you thought you would. So that buyer remorse sometimes kicks in and then the inspection comes and it's like, well, most houses around here are in pretty good shape. I mean, you'll have some that have some issues, but for the most part, most houses are okay. And the people that are living there now have been fine living there. And the people buying it would be fine living there. So you don't ask for some of these smaller, more nitpicky type things at time of inspection. Because when you do, you're running the risk of the seller saying, forget it. We're out of this. You said you weren't going to buy my house unless I fixed the light switch on the wall. And I don't want to fix the light switch on the wall. I had 10 other offers. I'm going to go to one of them. See ya.
Right.
And so you run that risk as a buyer. Right. So a good agent will go over that, the risks and the benefits. And ultimately our job is we're consulting. We're giving them, the buyer or seller or whoever representing, the information so that they can make an educated decision and then let them decide what's best for them and their situation.
So really the thing to do if you're a buyer or a seller of the property, you have to look at it and you have to think, okay, really this is for the buyer. It is a seller's market.
Yes, sir.
Completely and 100% right now it's a seller's market.
Yeah. So we say that a balanced market is 6 months marketing time. Back in 2008 and that whole fiasco, which was something total different. I don't see a bubble coming up like that was a bubble. There'd be marketing time would be a year, year and a half sometimes. I mean, it was crazy long. Now we're at 32 days.
Right.
As of this morning.
Right.
And so a strong seller market.
And that is exactly part of why it's not a bubble.
Right.
Okay.
It's supply and demand driven. It's
supply and demand driven, plus it's equity driven. Mm-hmm. The fact that these houses back then, remember, there were people who they owed $400,000 and their houses were worth $350,000.
Yeah. Yep. Because they refinanced and bought a nice boat, and then all of a sudden the markets went down and they were in trouble.
And they were in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so if you owe more than your house is worth and you get transferred, mm-hmm. what are you going to do?
Yep.
pay 50 grand or walk away from your house.
Yep.
Lots of people just walked away from their house.
Yep.
Today, you get transferred. You can sell your house tomorrow, and you can sell it for more money than it's ever been sold for ever.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And it's a supply and demand that I don't see is going to change anytime soon. So I think long term, the values, I mean, at some point, it's going to even out some. In fact, in March, the listing activity is a lot stronger than it was last month here in Indianapolis area. But the inventory hasn't risen because there's such a buyer demand out there just waiting. So as soon as something comes on, you know, one comes on, two goes off, it seems like.
Yeah, so. That's crazy. So we figure, you know, obviously this is some of the busiest time of the year, which is why we're getting more listings, but we still have the, you know, more buyers than we do sellers. How long do you think this is going to last? I know it's a crystal ball. I know nobody can tell for sure. Right. I'm not asking for, this is when it's going to, but are we looking at 6 months, a year, 2 years?
Thanks for throwing out my disclaimer, because I always say that because people think I have a crystal ball. I don't foresee this changing for years, to be honest. I think that it will alleviate some. I think here in the next couple of months, we're going to have more listings come on. But we still have that huge buyer demand. I don't think interest rates have ticked up a little bit. I don't even think if they go up quite a bit more that it's really going to change our market substantially. I think we're going to continue to have the desire of buyers to buy houses and just a lack of sellers for quite a while.
Yeah. And rates have popped up.
Yeah.
And there's reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I don't see that really affecting our market because there's too many buyers and not enough sellers.
Right.
And if you're selling for somebody's willing to pay $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, $75,000 over list price.
Yeah.
What's a half a point in rate going to mean?
Exactly.
It just doesn't mean anything at that point.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you. I just don't see how that's going to really affect anything.
And just economics in general. I mean, supply and demand. I mean, if I have a rare car, you know, I can charge a whole lot of money for it if somebody wants to buy it.
Right.
You know, because it's supply. I have the only supply.
Right.
And the demand, there's 50 people out there that wants it.
Right.
They're going to compete and pay a high price for it.
That's exactly why the auctions work, right?
Exactly. But if there's 100,000 of a car and 100 buyers for that car, then the car's value isn't very high.
Right. Yeah.
It's not worth much.
It's not worth very much. That's true. The to me, in this market, it's very interesting, and it's a different market than, and I've been in this for 30 something years. Yeah. I've never seen a market like this.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard for some people to get their head around, especially buyers, because it is difficult just to go out and you walk into a house and it's, do you want to live here?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard. It is hard. And part of our job as an agent is to support our clients and to an extent, embrace their emotions about it, but also kind of remove that a little bit and make it more of the business transaction so that we're supporting them emotionally, but we're also not allowing their emotions to take over to make bad decisions.
Yeah. Because it is a tough situation. That's why it makes so much difference. You have to have a good, solid real estate agent who knows what they're doing, who, like you, cares about their clients, really understands and listens. You ask the questions to make sure you understand so that you can guide them. And what you said is exactly one of the things you said is exactly how I do it. I don't tell, it's not my job to tell you what to do.
Right.
I don't have that ability because I don't know the entire situation. Yeah. My job is what you said your job is to give them the facts so they can make the decision that's best for them.
Yep. And sometimes everybody's different. Some different people have different thresholds for stress and financial matters and everything else. And so sometimes they make a decision that I would never make. But it's right for them.
Right.
And that's what's important.
Right. Yeah. And that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you being in the real estate industry means you have a very high threshold for stress.
Yeah. And lack of sleep.
Yeah. So Jeremy, thanks so much for joining me today. It's very interesting. Hearing about this market is fascinating. If somebody wants to list their house or buy a home, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, give me a call at 317-413-5311, or you can go to my website, yourrealtorjeremy.com.
Excellent. And if you'd like to get a hold of me, if you're looking at either refinancing or purchase, please go online to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and I appreciate it, and have a great weekend.